Lovely. Fernando, you picked this week's film.
Did you intuit that I had a desire to watch Italians suffer?
I thought it was a great film. Really kind of hit, I don't know. It was unremittingly bleak. Like it really, really earned that as well. It felt like it was just telling a straightforward story about, what real people's lives are like. And I thought it had something wider to say than just this was what it was like for a few years after the war in Italy, and that the specifics were that, but it felt like it was applicable to something wider, people struggling to get by in a busy world and a world that's maybe doesn't care, and how people can be driven into crime by desperation and poverty. And it was, I thought that was a much wider thing, that even without really knowing anything about post-war Italy, I thought that had something to say. What do you think, Laura?
Well, didn't know anything about post-war Italy, and I don't want to know. It was grim, 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 grim. I've seen this before.
Really?
I was made to watch this in second year film studies.
Oh.
Yes, I remembered nothing except the still of him sitting on the pavement with his son. So it was like I hadn't seen it before, because I thought he got his bicycle back in the end.
Oh, no.
It was terrible. Did any of you think he was going to end up with his bike back?
I thought he probably would. I thought this is like a sad film, but old-fashioned films always have a happy ending, and it really didn't.
I should have remembered. Italian neorealism. Dreadful. They all end badly.
Could you tell us anything more about Italian neorealism?
No.
Ah. That's all right then.
I know they tended to use just normal people who haven't been in films.
Okay.
And that they tended to focus on, bleak, grim stories of real life and real struggles. Hence the realism part.
Yeah, it didn't seem, it wasn't dreamy or melodramatic or anything, was it? It was just awful.
Just a portrait of desperation and frustration. Yeah, but I liked it. I thought it was a really good film. I found it very difficult to watch, and I just wanted it to be over. So I wouldn't watch it again. I think it was technically very good. Yeah.
We'll talk to you in another 10 years and you'll have forgotten.
Yeah. What did you think, Claire?
I think I really enjoyed it. Not enjoyed it. I think it was a really good film. Watching it, it was a difficult watch. But, I like some hardship in a film. I think that makes for good, entertaining way to spend an hour and a half of your life, watching someone else suffer. I did actually think the acting let it down a lot, but that now makes a bit of sense. Yeah, it was a bit rambly. It felt a bit directionless, but it was still quite engaging. I liked the characters, and it was an interesting sort of journey with them through this moral maze of poverty. I wouldn't rewatch it, I don't think, but good film, I think, overall.
Cool. I'm interesting you mentioned the bad acting in particular. I mean, we could forgive it for bad acting if these are all random people off the street, but I was surprised how good the actors were. I really thought they could have been actors.
But the little boy just stared at the other actors all the time and just sort of wandered around looking up at his dad.
I thought that was fairly, yeah.
I found it really distracting.
Right.
As if he was watching him for a cue or something.
Oh, interesting.
I found it believable, but it did occur to me throughout the film that because they're speaking in Italian, I can't tell if they're good at acting. There's something about a different language that I'm like, they're probably doing a good job.
Get on the bed, you know.
And there was this thing that we've seen with other Italian films as well, right, where they they dub over the voices later.
Yeah, that's really annoying.
It took a little getting used to, but I think that was another layer of I can't really tell whether it's good acting, I suppose. Because good acting means that it's believable and it really feels like they're there and delivering these lines. And if it definitely doesn't because their lips move differently, then that's an extra level of indirection. Anyone seen any films by... I should remember the name before I start the sentence, right?
Vittorio De Sica?
No, that was this, right?
Yeah.
Fabio Capello?
No, keep going.
Leonardo da Vinci?
Keep going while I look it up. Has anyone seen any films by Ken Loach?
Yes.
Yeah.
Lords.
Right. I've only seen one and a few clips of other ones, but I think he does a similar thing where he gets non-actors, right? And has them kind of half improvise their lines. Yeah, these were people that, they were just sort of everyday people that the director found and invited them to play characters in this film, which I was amazed by that. I thought particularly the lead actor was brilliant. I thought he had this real authority and like it was believable somehow. I don't know, maybe it's because he was actually like a thin man who was struggling to get by, and it looked like all the cares of the world were on him.
He looked hungry.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I always thought Ken Loach was Scottish because one of the films he directed was set in Scotland. Was set.
Oh, really?
And so I assumed that he was Scottish. Who else would set a film in Gourock?
Okay. I thought his films were sort of famously in the north of England.
Oh, interesting.
But I've only seen one, so.
Which one?
The one that came out last year, which was called The Old Oak.
Yes.
About an old pub that was, in a sort of washed up old village that was going the way of the dodo, and everyone was kind of just struggling to get by. And then they had a load of refugees come and stay in the village, and there was a lot of people were. People in the town were angry about it, but other people sort of tried to help them. Yeah, it was interesting. In May 2010, Loach referred in an interview to the three films that have influenced him most. Vittorio De Sica's Bicycle Thieves, 1948, comma, and then another two. I just happened to... Right. I was trying to look for films he's done.
Jurassic Park.
It was not Jurassic Park. Oh, that tells us something then. Yeah, it just reminded me of that, just this, getting people who aren't really actors to just sort of do stuff. And in his films, I found it really distracting because they were quite bad.
So the one film I've seen was Sweet 16. It turns out I've not seen loads of films, I've only seen one of them. Which was Martin Compton's first acting thing. He hadn't acted before and auditioned for Sweet 16. And he was the main character, and like a dead famous actor,
right? So he broke through.
Yeah, he's the guy from Line of Duty.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So definitely a big deal then.
So what hat did Renault go on to become a big star?
That's a question. The only one I heard about was Lamberto Maggiorani, the main character. Antonio, who never acted again, and apparently even got fired. He was laid off from the factory he worked in because management felt that they had to make some cuts, and they felt it was the fairest thing to do was to sack the movie star who must be making millions. But actually, he'd made about $1,000 and which I guess wasn't so bad for that time, but not enough to keep him going forever. But he struggled to find more work, became a bricklayer, and always tried to get more acting jobs and never really did.
Oh dear.
He's got like 10, 15 films listed here, but a lot of them aren't named roles. So I guess he's just been like an extra in a lot of films. That's a shame.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I somehow reflects the misery of this film, his role in it.
I think it's a common tendency for Hollywood to discover stars, chew them up and spit them out.
Yeah, okay.
I think it happened to the guys who worked on, what was that, Captain Phillips?
Oh, yeah.
I just made that up. The one about the Somali pirates.
Yeah, that, what was he called? Tom something or other? Tom Hanks, that was
it. Yeah, just never see him anymore. I know.
Sorry. No, yeah, so the other people in that I've never seen in anything, and they were kind of brilliant, and it had this very realist vibe to it, didn't it?
Very much so.
So they've just disappeared, have they, or just never got more work?
I thought they had, but actually, now that I'm looking it up, he seems to be in The Pirates of Somalia. He got a job in there.
That makes sense.
Yeah, been tight.
Great film, by the way, Captain Phillips.
I think I liked it. I can't remember now.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about Somali pirates attacking a pilot. Somali pirates capturing a container ship. And it's very, very realistic. And for me, it's Tom Hanks' best work that I've seen.
Have you ever seen Big?
No.
Well, you watched that statement there then.
Okay, oh, well. I never thought he was going to top Turner and Hooch, but...
Apparently, Akira Kurosawa listed this as one of his top 100 films.
Excellent.
And he knows about
big directors never say non-serious drama films, do they? When they talk about their influences.
Yeah, they don't say Turner and Hooch.
No.
Yeah, well, anyone whose major influence was Turner and Hooch is not going to be a famous film director that gets taken seriously, right? They're going to make really shit films. I bet whoever made Bad Moms Christmas was inspired by Turner and Hooch. But you know what? No one asks them about it.
I'm just looking at the list, looking at his top 100, and I don't recognise any of them. So,
who's this?
Akira Kurosawa.
Okay. So we've watched two now, haven't we?
Rashomon. What
else did we watch? Rashomon, that's the one.
Did he do
and Throne of Blood.
Yep. Oh, Barry Lyndon. And One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yay, that's two.
Sorry, what are these films?
These are Akira Kurosawa's favourite films.
Oh, favourite films. Okay, wow. Maybe we should just... the next 100 films should just be Akira Kurosawa should pick them for us.
Well, I recognise four of them.
Nice.
Sorry, this isn't very interesting for other people.
I'm interested.
Would you like me to read the list of films? That would be really great.
That'll take us up to the hour.
Do it really
one,
dispassionately from the top.
Blossoms or The Yellow Man and the Girl.
Oh, I didn't even choose.
N-Dash, Griffith, 1919.
It really doesn't matter what kind of dash it is.
Well, I want to point that out because the next one's got a hyphen, so it's really annoying.
Exactly. We would have missed that knowledge, Michael.
God damn it. Got to fix Wikipedia.
This is Far Out Magazine website.
Oh, right. That's why.
Do you think you could name 100 films? Someone was like, what's your top 100 films?
My top 100 films.
Yeah, without a phone, you could put down 100 films.
Can I even think of 100 films? Yeah. Oh dear, that would be a great one for a really boring car journey or standing in a queue at a theme park.
I'm trying to form thoughts pretty quick here. I was pretty devastated by the end and I haven't really had time to process anything that just happened.
I thought it was a very strong ending, having them just...
It was.
You've spent all this time with them, seeing them suffer, and then they just disappear into the crowd of other people suffering.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, oh, their story just means nothing because there's just hundreds and thousands of people exactly like them.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah. And when he took the bike, I was kind of hoping, like, maybe the person whose bike it is isn't as desperate he is. I hope he gets away with it. You know, left their bike outside. Come on.
I really wanted him to
get then you
away.
Heard the guy shouting, like, that's all I have. And I was like, his bike is so important for everyone.
And then get caught, and I just felt sick. I thought, oh, God, is he going to go to prison? It felt like they, not that they pulled punches, but they didn't deliberately make it worse than it had to be.
Mm.
Like, he got away with that and they decided to let him go. But he still just felt so sick and just so like the world was so arbitrary.
Mm.
It was, oh, it made the misery all the more real because they didn't do like that Don't Take Drugs Kid film that we watched. What was that?
Requiem for a Dream.
Requiem for a Dream, where they deliberately just went like, yeah, let's just add as much pain and suffering in and put it right in the middle of the screen as we possibly can and have everything go as bad as it possibly could. This felt like they were like, yeah, let's just pick one example and say this is what might happen to someone. And it made it feel more real. It made it feel like that probably has happened to someone. There were probably many people who had a story something like that, and they didn't, you know, lose an arm, and they didn't go to prison for 20 years, but they did suffer.
Yeah,
it was tough. It was quite a wild goose chase, wasn't it? And kind of a almost a stream of consciousness, not a stream of consciousness,
ramble.
A ramble. I was taking sort of notes about what was going on. Like, he needed to get a bike. That was the main thing at the start of the film, and he got it from the pawn shop. But then the thief got it, and he was chasing the thief, and then he found this old man, and he was chasing the old man, and he nearly lost the old man, and this was like two levels of indirection from getting his bike back. And then there was a drowning boy, and he was running after the drowning boy, thinking it was Bruno.
Mm.
I thought, like, this... there's so many other things sort of going on. It keeps getting distracted from the main purpose. It was like one of those bad dreams where you're like looking for a toilet, but you can't find a place. And then you do find one, but it's locked. And then you can see the key somewhere, but you can't quite reach it. And it was tough.
I did find the searching the markets for the bike dragged for a long time for me, and
me too.
It was a bit ridiculous. Like, I didn't, was it supposed to be like a joke, like you look at the bells and someone else look at the pedals, and
how would they know?
People who've never seen the bike before are looking for these tiny details of the bike. I didn't get it.
Maybe that was poor. I think Bruno would have recognized it. He kept saying, didn't he, Bruno knows this bike better than I do. And he, really, really loved that bike and knew all about it. The rest of them, I didn't really get it.
I think the whole thing was meant to be an exercise in futility.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
In fact, they've got these people looking for it who've never seen it. And we've already said, he's already made it clear at the start, this will have been stripped to parts.
Yeah.
And repainted maybe or something? Was that one of the worries that it was going to be? So there's just no way of... you will never get this bike back.
Was the feeling that they could find a part of the bike and tell the police?
I mean, I guess.
And then the police would be able to sort of verify that and say, yes, this is a part of the bike that went missing, and where did you get this from? And they'd be able to find the thief again, at least. It seemed like a very long shot for how confident his friend was.
Hmm. From a very quick scan, bike clocks weren't really popular until the 70s.
Okay.
I mean, they were invented much earlier than that, but they were very thick, sort of steel, so I imagine quite expensive.
Quite cumbersome. So.
Cumbersome, yes.
I remember really having this... I had a real moment of it. You know, we get this idea that, if you live in a nice neighbourhood, people don't lock things up quite as much. People who live in a rough neighbourhood have four locks on their door and that kind of thing. I remember walking through a city in Germany, in like Bavaria, And it was like I'd just, you know, stepped 100 years forward into some utopian future. There were just people had bikes, like everyone had a bike, and all of these bikes were just left outside people's houses. Some of them had like a lock on the bike that would just like lock the front wheel. So you could pick up the bike and run off with it, but you couldn't you know, pedal it without unlocking it. But some people hadn't even done that. There were just these bikes all over the place. And there was just this sort of feeling that, well, no one's going to steal a bike, are they? And everyone was just living this beautiful life. And I thought, man, why do I live in stupid countries where you have to lock everything and people still use bolt cutters to take it off? It just made me think.
I don't lock my bike up.
No, I'm sort of, I lock it a bit. Sometimes
I don't ride my bike. It lives in my shed, which I don't lock. Oh,
right. Ah, okay. Yeah, I mean, like when I've got the bike at the house, I usually like hang it up in such a way that it, at a quick glance, it looks like I've probably locked it. And like if I'm just nipping into a shop quickly, I won't lock it. But if I'm going to be 10 or 15 minutes, I'll lock it. And I seem to be okay. But that, yeah, I've always put that down to I live in St. Andrews, which is the, you know, the best place in the world. And so it's pretty safe. But I, even then, I hear of bikes going missing. So, yeah, there I was in Erlangen. Then I went to the local municipal swimming pool, and it had two Olympic-sized swimming pools in it, and it cost me €1.50 to get in.
Wow.
It was ridiculous, and one of them was outdoors.
To be honest, it would be great if someone stole my bike. I never ride it, and I've just got to get rid of it one day, so...
Oh, well.
Thieves, help yourselves. I live at a...
Stick it on Freecycle or something.
You should give it to Transition.
You're quite right.
That's
I should.
Do with my...
Yes, I will do that.
Yes. I think it was a real moment for me, though, when... I think it was just the one time Antonio hit Bruno, and you could just see how hurt Bruno was, how upset he was. And oh, I really felt for him. And I think Antonio really regretted that as well. He offered him a pizza though, didn't he? And you saw how much his face lit up when he heard he was going to get taken for a pizza.
Bit of a stereotype.
I loved how a lot of like Italian stereotype stuff was truly alive and well in this film. These stereotypes come from somewhere, don't they?
Every single man was shaking his hand in that Italian way.
They were all shaking their hands, all getting into these little arguments in the street and all crowding around, shaking their hands and going, "Hey!" I guess there's some truth. I mean, I've seen it in Italy. It's quite funny.
Also, when they couldn't get a pizza, a mozzarella sandwich. It's like it was written by someone who just thinks they are guessing what Italians eat.
But I guess they really do.
Yeah, sounds nice. Looked nice.
I do remember when, Claire, do you remember the place we went in Rome, just underneath the hotel? One place we went to twice, and that they had a real thing about not doing pizza, didn't they? I think they had some feeling that, like, if you do pizzas, you get a certain type of people in, and you get loads of tourists, and you get people who aren't really interested in, like, the experience of going to a sort of even fairly casual restaurant. And they seemed to sort of pride themselves when we asked about pizza, and they said, "No, we don't do pizza. Here's what we do. I can't remember what we did have, actually.
I had wild boar with polenta at one point. That was pretty amazing.
Nice.
And they did the thick continental hot chocolate.
Ooh.
Okay.
And they did a carafe of wine.
Yes. Which, Vino Spirali.
Which they served chilled, which is always a sign that it's cheap red wine.
Yeah, the chilled red wine. Yeah, it was pleasingly... unpretentious, that place.
Yeah, it was good.
Sorry, anyone else been to any nice restaurants on holiday that are tangentially related to this film? I was quite worried about where it was going when they were in that the restaurant and he was getting drunk
and
like giving Bruno wine. And I thought, is he getting reckless here and he's going to go and, you know,
steal a bike,
kill someone or steal a bike.
Was it wine?
Yeah.
I know he said it was wine, but it looked like water. I thought he was just having a...
I take it was white wine.
Must have been. I thought maybe he was doing a pretend, let's imagine we're drinking wine. But he did say to the waiter, bring us a bottle. So I imagine that was the bottle.
And it seemed a reckless thing to do because he had so little money, but he was going in and just buying, mozzarella sandwiches or pizza or whatever. A waste of money. I thought, is he really getting reckless here? Yeah, it's tough. And even then, the joy of having the mozzarella sandwich was tarnished by having the other people nearby who had so much more than them.
Yeah.
It was it's a tough watch, wasn't it?
Very much so.
Got to say, though, very film club. Well done, Fernando. This is the kind of thing we should be doing. It's the kind of film everyone wants to watch. Yes, if it was one of these every time, I'd struggle. But a work of classic world cinema.
Yeah, true.
Black and white subtitles, 1940s.
It's really
the plight of man.
Pulling the algorithm up.
I think this is a good one for us.
Has anyone seen La Vie est Belle?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I love that film.
Yeah, it's great. Also really, really depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but it's a comedy, isn't it?
It is a comedy.
It's very, very light-hearted, jolly old film about the Holocaust.
Yep.
That was stunning. That was really something. Ooh, oh, Fernando. No one say anything too interesting.
I'll try.
Anyway, let's just assume he hasn't seen La Vita Bella.
Is that what it's called? La Vita. La Vita Bella.
La Vie is French, right?
You're probably right.
Yeah. Anyway, I saw it.
I never learned a word of Italian.
Life is Beautiful is the film, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really good. And a few of the scenes really stuck with me.
You're right, it was Vita.
Welcome back, Fernando.
Thank you. Except now I'm worried that the recording was somehow interrupted. I mean, I have already started recording again, but...
Okay. But maybe you don't have the old one.
But I don't know what happened. Yeah, I'm not sure if I...
We can see what happens. If we lose it, we lose it.
I think we should start again and everyone try and remember exactly what they said.
Excellent.
We could redo all of the relevant stuff that we've talked about. It'll take us about 5 minutes.
All right.
I think maybe it's time to move towards summing up anyway. I wouldn't mind an early night tonight. I think, Claire, you might be the same.
I am basically asleep already.
It's been a couple of heavy days.
Yeah. Should we take off symbolism just for, you know, the paperwork?
Yep.
Oh, shit, yeah, symbolism.
Do you have the bell? Thank you.
Thank you.
The bike, it's a symbol.
Yep.
Nailed it.
That was the main symbol, I think.
Of the film. It's a symbol of progress.
Yes, the bike is how you get somewhere fast and he can't get anywhere.
For example, out of poverty.
Yeah, but there aren't enough
bikes around. So it's like crabs pulling each other back, necking each other's bikes.
Like crabs pulling each other back?
Yeah, you know this thing about crabs? If they're stuck in a bucket, if one's managed to climb part way out, the other crabs will pull it back in.
Oh,
maybe they're trying to save it. Maybe they don't know what's going to happen to the other crab, and they think, "Come back."
I hope so.
the consensus is that if the crab's like making a better life for itself and escaping, then that's disapproved of by the other crabs.
Or maybe the bicycle symbolized Antonio's bicycle symbolized at least. Hopes and dreams. They were stolen by the war.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's...
Yeah, okay.
Sounds right.
Wow.
The mozzarella sandwich. Symbolized.
Mazzare, yeah.
Mazzare.
So the woman, the sort of psychic woman, the spiritualist woman, maybe symbolized how all religion just sort of gives people false hope and keeps people going, but doesn't actually offer anything valuable.
Whoa, she was telling the truth. Antonio got a job, and then she said, if you find it, you'll find it, and if you don't find it, then you won't find it, which was also true.
that is also certainly true, but yeah. Like a lot of this stuff, just saying something vague enough that you can always get there. A medium contacting the dead and saying to an audience, oh, there's definitely someone whose name begins with an M or actually maybe an N.
I suppose they needed that line to be able to finish the film, though, because she said you'll either find it right now or never. And we could just have followed them looking for the bike for like 50 years. Needed to finish the film at some point. So we needed that line.
So we feel that that's wrapped it up for us.
The film should have ended there because he hadn't found it.
That's what drove him to steal the bike, wasn't it? Because he thought, well, if I've not found it now, I'll never find it. So I should go and steal the bike. So actually, she drove him to crime.
I agree. She drove him to crime. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like all religion.
I think it was the employers. He could have just walked around putting those posters up.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, we know that you can't out-cycle people running after you. So.
Yes.
And if a bike's necessary for your job, the employer should provide the bike.
Yeah, they just didn't care, did they? They just said, we'll definitely be able to find someone because people are desperate for work, so we'll have them bring their own bikes. And if they don't have a bike, then who cares? They don't get a job.
Stupid capitalism. It's cold.
Yeah.
This film represents capitalism.
It was a film about capitalism, wasn't it?
And the inequity of power.
It's not aggressively attacking him. It just doesn't care if he lives or dies and isn't helping him at all. Yeah, that's cold.
Church.
Church.
He can't get out of the church.
Mm.
Yep. Yeah, he was sort of stuck in there, wasn't he?
Mm.
Yeah, what was the thing with the barbers all being outside the church?
I think that was... that was the church trying to do some good for the community. They were giving people a shave who couldn't afford a shave.
They're not
they were
giving them a sandwich.
Paying to give people food who couldn't afford food.
Oh, they were giving them food. That's okay.
Yeah, they were preparing the food for after the service.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that was meant to be a positive depiction of the Catholic Church.
Okay.
But it didn't give him what he needed, which was a way to get out of poverty. And a way to keep going.
Posters.
And your
it's just advertising products, wasn't it?
Well, I was because it was Rita Hayworth.
Rita Hayworth, it was. Yes.
The glamour. The glitz of another world.
Yeah.
Mocking him.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I think the most famous movie star to compare to these guys who were just... just people off the street, not even real actors. This was not a film from the same world as that, was it? It was not a Hollywood hit.
Done.
Great. How was this film related to Evil Under the Sun?
Oh, it was a mystery thriller.
Who stole the bike?
A hard-hitting who, yes.
Except we do know who stole the bike.
Yes. Yeah, he eventually tracked down the guy, didn't he? And like Poirot, revealed to everyone. But in Evil Under the Sun, everyone believed him. And in The Bicycle Thief, they just said, well, do you have any evidence? And say no.
The bicycle was stolen under the sun, in plain sight.
That is true.
And there was evil, yes.
Yep.
I wanted to mention this film, certainly we were calling it The Bicycle Thief, but an alternative title for it was Bicycle Thieves.
Yes, I noticed that.
And that actually having that different title tells you something different about the film. Mm. It wasn't just about the one person. Yeah, they were both bicycle thieves in the end. Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, a bit like how in Parasite.
Mm. Mm.
Who's the parasite?
Parasites. Yeah.
Somebody write to that director.
This is like the game we play with band names, isn't it?
Yes.
Where if you just say the in front of it or pluralize it, it makes it sound stupid.
Yeah, like the elbows. The elbows.
The cold play. The Rolling Stones.
Works every time.
Being silly.
The Rolling Stoneses.
It's true, that sounds stupid.
Should we start wrapping up?
I think it's time.
Any last thoughts from anyone?
At the scene where they're having a pizza, did we see a scene where, different economic classes were socializing at the same time? Because Antonio made a comment about having to earn like a million something lira a month to eat like them. And I wonder if they were much wealthier people that were all having a meal at the same restaurant, which would be maybe not the case in nowadays society, because maybe people that are much more wealthy go to upscale restaurants.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting as well. They were all just in... There you go. I think they were meant to be wealthier because they were in... The little boy's clothes were posh.
Yeah, and they were eating something fancy.
Yeah.
I think there was... Yeah, to some extent you do get, particularly the more casual restaurants, do have cheaper options and more expensive options. But I think also Antonio and Bruno were not really wealthy enough to be in there.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was my impression.
Okay.
And they couldn't really afford to be eating like that. And it was a reckless act.
Hmm.
Yeah, spend some of their precious money on that.
I see. So it was them who were out of place. It was Antonio and Bruno who were out of place.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Great. I'm ready to play the music.
I'm ready. Thanks for picking the film.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for watching it.
Enjoyed it. Sort of. Yeah. In a horrible way.
Superb.
I'm glad I've seen it. Three, two, one.
Scissors.
Claire has it.
Oh, brilliant. I haven't picked a film.
You can let us know if you want.
No, I like American History X.
All right.
Mm. Never heard of it.
Oh, that's a famous one, right?
Oh, my God. Oh, I don't want to watch this.
It's not too late.
Yeah. No, let's not watch that one.
Okay. You look it up after you'd said it.
Well, I was just picking things off the IMDb top 250. That's the first one I hadn't seen. Modern Times.
Modern Times.
Yeah.
When's that from?
It's Modern Times.
It's from like 1910 or something, isn't
1936.
It?
1936. It's not too late.
No, I'm sticking with this one.
Modern Times, 1936.
It's an hour and a half.
That is on my... Yeah? How long is every film?
Yeah, but look it up. Do you want to watch it for an hour and a half?
Yeah. It's the thing with Charlie Chaplin, right? It's a classic.
That's fine. Yeah, great. Sorry. This is the first time I think I've openly expressed dismay at films.
in that case, I'm very happy with my choice.